the dynamic duo back in action. What?
Welcome to The Human Current,
where we have casual conversations about complexity
in work, life, and all the things we do.
It's time to get curious.
And curiouser.
Angie, this wine that you brought today, it's not only priced reasonably, which, you know, both of us appreciate, it's also ranked at 91 points, and it's from Spain. Tarima, a Monastrell. I haven't had a Monastrell.
Oh, I've had this one before, and I was excited to bring it to you today. So let's pop it open, pour some glasses, and let's get this podcast going.
Wine and casual conversation. It's been too long.
Why don't we do this more often?
I don't know. It's tons of fun.
It's great that we're doing this on the heels of the conference that we attended, Work Human. It's so fitting.
Yeah.
How about a cheers to the conference that we just attended, the Work Human conference?
I'll cheers to that.
Cheers. Cheers. That was an amazing conference that we attended, and I'm glad that we have a moment to sit across the mics, drink some wine, and chat about the conference and share some audio clips of some interviews that we conducted.
We met so many wonderful people while we were there, and I'm so glad we got to capture a few of our conversations along the way. I know both of us were very excited about this conference, and I mean, the lineup of speakers was incredible. I was so, so excited to see Brené Brown. I've been reading her books like crazy, and you introduced me to her with her TED Talk on vulnerability, and it just changed my life. I mean, I've been thinking about it in so many moments throughout life ever since then. And so seeing her was incredible, and Sean Acker and Simon Sinek, and I was so surprised by Salma Hayek.
Yes.
Just some incredible stories, and it was so great to attend and to play witness to what was happening in their mission there.
Such a different conference than I've been to in the past, and hands down the best conference I've ever been to. And I believe it was someone that we were talking to that coined it perfectly, or at least I had my aha from a comment that was made. And that was that the difference in this conference compared to others is it felt like everyone there wanted to be there. And so many conferences that I've attended, there's tons of amazing people that don't necessarily want to be there. And we were there with directors and CEOs and HR and learning and development teams and people of finance, people with small organizations to great big international companies. And the speaker lineup was amazing. It was really cool to witness how Work Human, how Globaforce, integrated every element of their values and what they believe into the conference. It wove this beautiful tapestry that we got to experience.
And just the ambiance of the conference itself, it was very much felt like you were at home there, and they had live music playing. And another thing that I loved so much was that they brought so much of the Austin culture. And, you know, it's our hometown. Obviously, we're a little biased. We love our town.
Right.
They had three nonprofit organizations that they were giving money to throughout the event, and they were three Austin local organizations. And they really tried to incorporate little pieces of our culture here, including live music. And they had like a little tattoo bar where people could get some ink on them.
The coffee shop.
The coffee shop. And the
food trucks.
And the food trucks, yeah. I felt like we were at home the whole time.
Yeah.
So I love that they really brought in that hometown culture and incorporated the community in the event.
Yeah, kudos to Globaforce and Work Human, and to the humans that attended the conference really made the conference spectacular just by showing up.
Yeah, and I loved being a part of it. I felt like we definitely had something to offer as well. We brought our own story and our own testimony of the Complexity podcast with us along the way, and we got to talk about it with Mike Wood, who originally reached out to us. He's the social marketing manager at Globaforce. And he also manages their podcast, Work Human Radio. We had him on the show a few months ago, and we actually got to participate in Work Human Radio while we were there.
That was so cool. What a great experience.
It was really cool. I thought it was awesome. That live podcast experience is way thrilling. And we got to talk about how complex system science can transform the workplace.
And it was so perfect to be on that radio show on the heels of us being official podcasters at the NECSE conference.
We got to learn a lot. We really took it all in and watched some pros in action. And it was great to sit around a table with fellow podcasters and have authentic conversations with them. And they were more than willing to share all their knowledge with us, which was great.
So thanks for having us on the Work Human Radio. And thanks, Globaforce, for hosting such a fantastic conference. We were able to do a few of our own interviews while we were there. We brought our little mic, and Haley, you did a great job reaching out to folks attending the conference who wanted to be on the show. And we've already aired one of those interviews, which was great. And we have two more to share on this episode.
Yeah, our first interview was with Erica Keswin. We aired a few weeks back, the founder of the Spaghetti Project. And today we're going to share two clips from two ladies who are in the field trying to make the workplace more human, to where you can bring your whole selves to work, which was obviously a common theme at this conference. But it was great talking with Jennifer Fongevay. She's a chief humanity officer, and she talks about mergers and acquisitions. That's really her forte. She's been through a couple of them herself. And I was so tickled when she shared that she was a listener of the show. And then she saw that we were attending the event, and she heard our interview with Mike Wood. And she said she's been listening for a while, and she was so excited to be on the podcast. And I just love that. I love that our listeners are reaching out and they're being on the show and a part of the conversation.
I felt like we were a fan because she was a fan.
Yeah. It was very flattering and lots of fun to interview with her and to talk with her before and after the interview as well. So let's take a listen to her interview. Angie and I are here at the Work Human event, and we have with us Jennifer Fongevay, who's the Chief Humanity Officer. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Would you tell us a little more about yourself and what you do and what makes you passionate?
A little bit about myself. I'm Chief Humanity Officer around mergers and acquisitions. I went through three of them during my career in marketing. Each of them I felt at every step could have just been done better. Right? The fact that in M&A, oftentimes the people side of it is lost. And so as part of my efforts to change that, I thought, I've got to start helping companies be smarter about how they connect and maintain the human side of business while doing return and acquisition. In 2016, I started to write a book. It was really supposed to just be a playbook. I was actually planning to go back into marketing, but I thought if I could just help people have a better visibility on what to expect when they go through a merger and acquisition, that I'd help people be smarter about how to do that. And during that journey, I had enough positive response that I decided to pursue a consultancy, helping companies be better about how they execute on M&A.
Great. We'd love to hear a little more about your book, maybe the title, who should read it, and when will it be available for people to pick up?
Well, and what's so funny about the book is really, at the time, my plan was just to write a book and then go back into marketing. Considering the fact that I went through three acquisitions, I still thought, nope, I'm just going to get this book done and go off and do my job.
Yeah, it's definitely important for people who are experiencing such drastic changes and transitions in their lives and in their jobs. And when did you say your book would be available?
It will be published this year. Right now I'm actually talking to publishers, which is very exciting. So the plan is to have it published in the fall of 2018.
Congratulations. We can't wait to pick up a copy.
Thank you.
We're curious, what brings you to the Work Human event? What are you hoping to gain from this conference?
So my mission, if you will, is rediscovering the humanity in business. And when I was looking that up to see, okay, who else is equally in this space, I came across this conference and I thought, wow, there are actually other people out there who are equally interested in the human side of business. I didn't think that was possible. And so I signed up. And when I started to see the roster of speakers that they got, I was really impressed that this was not just a conference for anybody, but people who are particularly interested in making change and making a difference. And the people who I've met here have been phenomenal. So I have been pleasantly surprised at every encounter. And it's encouraging for me. I started my business not knowing if there was an audience or an interest. And continuously I hear, that is such a great idea. People need help in this space. I'd say the other reason I came is I find that when you talk about humanity in business, people think it's touchy-feely, it's soft skills. And what I wanted to confirm is there is data, there is analytics. You can measure and demonstrate that by treating someone with empathy and compassion and support can actually help the bottom line. And that equally I've taken away from the conference, which has been great.
Yeah, this is day two of the conference. So do you have any favorite presentations that you've seen thus far?
You know, it would be like picking your favorite child. I mean, it's the tough part is, so Brené Brown was amazing, but I expected that, right? The thing I think most surprising for me is Salma Hayek was stupendous. You know her only in one dimension, I think, or at least I did. And I loved her as an actress, but knowing everything she's accomplished and the fact that she had so many barriers that she had to knock down. The panel this morning with Taraja and Ashley Judd and Ronan Farrow was equally empowering. It didn't devolve into a political discussion. It just talked about respect and humanity. So I clearly didn't answer your question because I can't pick one. I think each of them has just been mind-blowing.
No, it's a great response. We would agree with that. And we're looking forward to Sean Aker later today. Like you said, there is data to back up the statistics on happiness at work and how important that is. And he's just another one of the leaders in that movement. So we're excited to hear him later today. So do you think there's anything we've missed in our conversation as we wrap up here?
I'd emphasize a point, how fascinating it is, how many different people are focused on this subject. But in a way to make a difference, not just, gosh, wouldn't it be great to be happier at work? Sure, it would be. But having people like yourselves who are doing podcasts like this to bring a voice to a variety of people who are doing things in the workplace, conferences like this, Work Human, that are demonstrating there are companies who are successful doing this. I think the conference panel this morning said it best, right? With one voice, they won't make a difference, but a collective voice that creates a community for change, I think will make it happen. So that's just been lovely to see.
Absolutely. We were thrilled to hear so much talk about systemic change as well and how needed to address these issues of diversity and equality and the whole Me Too movement. We really need to think in a systems way and address these things with that kind of lens. And so it's been a blessing to be here and to speak with people like you and be a part of this event. And we're just thrilled to collect these interviews along the way. So is there any way that our listeners can get a hold of you? Any contact information for them?
I would love for them to check out my website, JenniferJFondreve.com. Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, J, Fondreve, it's French, F-O-N-D-R-E-V-A-Y.com. And there you'll get a chance to sign up for my book, see the kinds of services that I help out with. And I also do individual coaching, so somebody who's going through an M&A often feels alone can reach me there. Particularly if you've got questions, I'm always happy to help shed light on the experience.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jennifer. It's been an honor speaking with you.
Thank you.
Jennifer and I continued talking a little after our conversation, and she talked about how there's no system in place for leaders to help people in the business of mergers and acquisitions. So it's a very political process, and people really get left behind in it. That human element is just missing in this whole process. And she really wants to make mergers and acquisitions less about corporate profit and more about the people. So, Angie, you got to talk with Angela.
Yeah, it was great to have a conversation with Angela and learn more about the work that she's doing. Such an interesting background that she has and exciting work that she's doing with Panorama, which is what they consider an action tank. And in my interview that I had with her, I learned that she's the director there at Panorama and that she's leading the Paid Leave Project, a very important initiative that essentially could transform employment and communities and families here in the USA.
Kudos to Angela. Super important work that she's doing. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people who are going through family issues, injuries, sickness. Even paid maternity leave is a rare benefit at most companies, which is just ridiculous.
Blows me away, Haley, coming from Canada and what my home country has to offer for paid leave. And I never even blinked an eye thinking that it was a privilege. It was just part of what you got as being a citizen there. I think it's interesting, and I discussed this with Angela when I interviewed her, where the U.S. ranks in terms of developed countries and their paid leave system to other developed countries around the world. And when you look at that and productivity rates, happiness rates, and so forth, there's clearly something that's missing. And the interview that I did with Angela and the work that she's doing really demonstrates a great example of a complex system and identifying those patterns regarding systems and societies as they relate to paid leave. And she also illustrates the emergent properties and behaviors based on paid leave, or maybe not paid leave. And she explores unintended consequences of not supporting paid leave. And then she even gives some really simple ways of being able to approach your workplace to implement new paid leave structures and policy.
It's really unfortunate that it's become so political and there's so many hoops that organizations have to jump through in order to achieve paid leave programs that accommodate their employees. And I think that there's winds of change and that it definitely has to be a priority for organizations to go down that road. But we talk about unintended consequences all the time, and there's more and more research proving the benefits and showing organizations that it's worth it. And if people cannot bring their whole selves along with their families and their lives that might need some attending to, and they want to have a job to come back to. And organizations owe them that.
I couldn't agree with you more, Haley. Wheatley said, very great change starts from very small conversations held among people who care. And you'll hear in my interview with Angela that essentially the work that they're doing is based off of conversation. Conversation of why, and also what's wrong, what are the patterns, what needs to change, and then how do we go about doing that? And so with that, how about we have a listen to Angela's interview?
Great. I'm looking forward to it, Angie. It's been fun getting behind the mics with you again.
I hope we do this more often. It's been a long time.
I know. We need to do this.
Yeah. I started Angela's interview off with asking her about Panorama, her work, and what she's passionate about.
Let's have a listen.
Haley and I are here at the Work Human Conference, and I was able to have some time with Angela Romay. She is one of the directors at Panorama, and she is working on the Paid Leave Project. And I'm so glad, Angela, that you were able to spend some time and talk with me at the Human Current.
Well, thank you so much, Angie, for talking with me as well.
Real quick, can you tell us about Panorama? What's your work there, and what makes you passionate?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking and giving me the opportunity to talk about what we are doing. So, to answer your first question, Panorama is an action tank, and that's a pretty cool place to be. As you know, think tanks do a lot of research and thinking. We do that, and we do that with impact. So, we are working on large, global, complex issues and challenges and identifying gaps and needs in the world, and we're doing the research and thinking behind it, and then we're going out and we're actually doing the work and making impact. So it's a pretty exciting place to be. We started just a little bit over a year ago, and we are based in Seattle with an office in Washington, D.C. as well. So that's a little bit about Panorama, and I am leading the Paid Leave Project. So the Paid Leave Project, we kicked off about a year ago, too, at the same time Panorama was starting up. And the first thing that we did was to partner with Boston Consulting Group and do a lot of qualitative research into the paid leave practices of companies across the United States. So On the Paid Leave Project, we are taking a different approach. There are some really great advocates who have been working really, really hard for years on national legislation, and there are advocates who have been working on and passing state legislation for paid leave. And by paid leave, when I talk about that, I mean anything that's covered under paid family medical leave, which is what's covered under FMLA. So what we saw was an opportunity to partner with the private sector and really hear them out. And so in addition to the work that we did with Boston Consulting Group, we also produced a playbook. It's an online comprehensive playbook that can help walk a company through how to build a business case for paid leave, how to design it custom for their workforce, and how to implement it. And there's tons of downloadable tools in there. So, and then we spent the last year going even more in depth and talking to a lot more employers to understand what are the drivers and barriers to voluntary adoption of paid leave. So that's really our niche in the paid leave space, is working with businesses and being a business ally for those companies that are looking to adopt, and or those companies that are being leaders out there and shining a spotlight on the really amazing work that they are doing to increase access to paid leave for everyone in the United States. Really, that's the goal, is that people don't have to choose between their job and their family. Like, we go to work in the first place to earn an income and provide for our families. And when something hits, that birth or adoption is something we can usually plan for. But the medical illness or injury that we have or a loved one may have, or providing elder care, that's where a lot of the leave is happening these days. And men are actually just as equal caregiver these days as women are. And so when I talk about equality, I talk about gender neutral. I talk about equal access for the lowest wage workers in the United States. These are the people who need it the most. And we are seeing men take leave, because when women weren't in the workforce as much, those women were there to provide caregiving to the child or the ill family member or the elderly parents. Well, those women are in the workforce now, and they're making companies more money, and they're making society and our country a lot more money. And so we all, the men that have been in the workforce all along who are now sharing that responsibility, and the women who have joined the workforce, need to be supported when something happens in our lives. We need to be able to take that time off and, for goodness sakes, take care of a loved one without worrying about our paycheck, because we actually want to come back to our job. So it shouldn't be a choice. And it's kind of interesting, because if you look at that, people think, oh, well, I should offer paid leave because it's the nice thing to do. Well, it is the nice thing to do. It is the right thing to do, absolutely. And we are talking about that. But the reality is that there's a business case for paid leave. Because if you stop and ask yourself the question, if my employee is coming to work worried about the lump in their own breast or the person at home who's ill and who needs somebody to attend to them, are they really bringing their whole self to work? They're not. They are being productive at some lesser percent than 100%. And so if we want somebody to bring their whole selves to work, we need to support the whole self, which means saying, we understand that you need to take some time off. We don't want you to worry about your paycheck. While you take that time off and care for somebody, just take the time off and care for them. Don't worry. And then come back, because we need you, because you're contributing to our bottom line. So that's the business case for paid leave, is support that person as their whole selves, and they will bring their whole selves to work, and they will be more profitable. They will contribute to the bottom line. So it's the right thing to do, but that's not actually what we're talking about anymore, especially when unemployment is at 4% in this country. We're talking about the business case for paid leave. That's the conversation we are having at Panorama. And we're talking about the role that men play as caregivers, because it's today's reality. The numbers are there to prove it. And so we need to support everybody. It's a gender neutral conversation. It's no longer a mother's problem or a baby thing. So those are some of the things that we're looking at Panorama in the paid leave space.
Wow, a big conversation and something that's needed in this country. It's interesting when you look at studies of other developed countries and where the U.S. falls with what they actually have for paid leave compared to other countries, and then compare that to productivity mm-hmm. and happiness at work. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to look at that, and there's definitely a need to move the needle here. And I love that you talk about the whole self. Haley and I have tons of conversations about that, and that bringing our whole selves to work is an asset to a company and to our community and as global citizens, and that it's not a deficit, and that it's important that we're moms and dads and uncles and brothers and sisters and community members, and we volunteer or we have trials and tribulations and success, and that we get to bring all of that with us and have a workspace that honors that and appreciates it. So fantastic work. I love the work that you're doing there at Panorama. You mentioned a report. Where could our listeners find that?
Oh, sure. Thanks for asking me about the report. So we actually touched about 500 employers across the United States last year. We went back and tracked our numbers. We set some pretty ambitious goals for ourselves for 1 year. We did. We talked with 500 employers in 1 year, and that was with a team of about 2 to 3 people. And over half of those were large employers. And then within those 500, we talked to 40 in-depth conversations. And by in-depth, I mean 3, 4, 5 conversations with large employers. And when I say large employers, I'm talking a lot of times 100,000 employees. Because again, if you go back to our mission at Panorama, we are all about making an impact. So if we can help one company expand or adopt paid leave, we have a huge impact. And so that's why we've really focused on large employers this last year. Well, we got to the end of last year and I started having a few people ask me, are you going to produce a report? And my initial answer was no. We're funded by grants, and so we were going to produce a report for our grantors that we could show them the success and the learnings of our work. But I wasn't going to produce anything externally. It just hadn't been on my radar. But we found that Panorama's greatest value was actually going back to those employers we talked to and sharing best practices. So the more and more employers we talked to, they said, oh, you're talking to our competitor, either in our state or in our industry. We're actually curious what they're up to because these employers are so busy. Paid leave is one of many, many things on their plate. And so we add value because we're able to tell them what their competition or another employer is doing, and they learn from that and they benchmark against each other. And so even if we were sharing that information confidentially, that was a huge value for us to be able to help these people. And so we ended up deciding at the end of 2017 that we would produce a report to share our learnings. Many of our conversations had been confidential, so we do share names of a few of the large companies we talk with. And I think we're seeing more companies be willing to talk more publicly about paid leave, but we just produced a report a few weeks ago so that we could share our learnings with anybody. It's now public, and the report is available on our website. So our website is the Paid Leave Project, and the URL is paidleaveproject.org. And so on the Paid Leave Project is this report that we just produced that shares what are the drivers and what are the barriers and what are the emerging trends in paid leave in the private sector. So that's our report. We have learnings, insights, and findings that literally nobody else in this country has. We are the only one doing this kind of work in the private sector. So we share that information to the extent that we got approval to do so in our report. Also, on our website, we have a couple other really great things. We have a video testimonial and case study from T-Mobile. We also have another in-depth video case study with Nestle. Nestle is awesome because they are tracking results related to paid leave so that they can prove the business case for paid leave. And they are sharing that information publicly. They share it in our video and they share it on their website. And so companies that are asking us, can you show us so I can take it to my CFO that there is a hard business case with actual numbers for paid leave? Nestle is sharing that information. So they are a role model right now. We're really excited to share their video and share their story. So all of that's available on our website. The really big thing that's also available through our website that anybody can access, and again, this is free because we're funded by grants, is our playbook. So our playbook is available through the website as well. And again, that helps a company that wants to offer paid leave. So we are here, again, to help companies that want to roll out paid leave. We're also here to shine a spotlight on companies like T-Mobile, who is offering paid leave to their frontline employees. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. Diane over there can tell you how many babies a day that they have at paid leave. And she is so proud of their paid leave program because they saw their usage numbers go up once they offered that paid leave to their frontline employees because those people needed the pay to take the time off. And so she is so proud of that policy. And with Nestle, something that they've done is they've tackled what we're calling workforce management. So workforce management, every small company and every big company deals with this. So let's say you, Angie, all of a sudden something happens to one of your parents tomorrow. You couldn't plan for this, and now you need to be away from work for the next 4 weeks. Well, Nestle has figured out how to plan for workforce management so that it's not a burden, but it's an opportunity for other employees to step in, even unplanned, and cover your job. So they have turned something that's a challenge into an opportunity. And so we are looking at what are the biggest barriers to paid leave, and we're solving those problems for companies. And companies like Nestle are helping us do that.
That is really exciting. And I love that there's all those resources on the website to go check it out so our listeners can, you know, get curious and go learn more. I think it's fantastic what Nestle's doing, and so other people can jump in and help when others need to step out. It reminds me a lot, too, of a possible solution around knowledge sharing and companies having an issue with employees when they leave their position, they take knowledge and skills with them. And so taking this as an opportunity, surely to address leave and also to address the issue of employees taking away knowledge. So the more people that know your job and know what you do.
Yep, you've totally got it. You've totally got it. You're right. Yeah. So I think, you know, if there is one message that I have for all the wonderful people that I've met here at Work Human, men and women in HR roles and diversity roles, everyone that I talk to that doesn't offer paid leave, or maybe today they only offer 2 weeks of maternity leave, but they want to offer gender neutral leave, they feel frustrated because as representatives of the human beings at their place of work, they want to offer their employees that flexibility and that security for paid leave, and they don't quite know how to do it because they need that business case. And what I would say is the business case is here. We have all the tools that can help them make that business case. So they need to take that to their CFO. I get it. HR doesn't end up with any more resources or any more budget anytime they have to do anything. And so that is the beauty of what we have available, is that it's all free. And so they literally can take that business case to the CFO. So something they feel frustrated about right now, it's a problem that we're helping to solve.
Fantastic. Thank you for all that work in that area. It's so needed, so desperately needed. And so you mentioned Work Human. Here we are at this conference. I can't go without asking you a couple questions about this conference. So I'm curious, Angela, what brought you here? Like, what's the objective for you and if you came with a team being here? And second part of that is, what's your biggest aha or your biggest surprise or the thing that you love the most about being here?
Oh my goodness, you're asking me so many good questions and you're also getting a little personal. So first of all, I need to say that when I started at Panorama last year, I started and Tina Ferguson, my colleague, had started just the week before me. And I have to say, we were literally giddy on our first few days of working together. We toasted each other by walking down to Pike Place Market and buying fresh flowers for our desk because we couldn't believe that we were getting paid to do this amazing mission-oriented work in the world. We were literally giddy to be in these jobs. So Tina is the one who actually found the Work Human Conference last year and identified it. And I think we were too late for it or something. And so she flagged it. And then I looked at it and I thought, how in the world do they get Brené Brown and Simon Sinek at the same conference? I have goosebumps. And I just thought, is it really possible that I could go to a conference where I could hear from people that inspire me personally? And so we prioritized coming to Work Human this year. It's a big commitment for us as a tiny team to take time out of the office for a few days and fly to Austin, Texas to be here. And not only, though, are we getting to be inspired by Brené Brown and Simon Sinek and Adam Grant and, oh gosh, Ashley Judd and Tarana Burke, like the list goes on. Like, so not only do we get to be inspired by these people who are truly making a difference in the world, who are truth tellers, who are speaking up, who are creating movements, but the other thing that's really different and unique about Work Human is that the people at this conference are here because they want to be. So let's just be honest for a second. I have spent the last year going to a lot of conferences, and there are a lot of unhappy people at those conferences, and they are there for compliance reasons. They are there to earn their credits, and so they're just not happy, and everybody I meet here is really happy, and people are telling the truth, and people are talking from the heart, and so this is a place of progressive leaders and progressive companies. I'm looking around at all the names and all the name tags, and I'm making note of who are the companies that are represented here, because the companies that are represented here are people who decided to take a leap of faith and go to a conference that's, I think, in its fourth year and come here. And it's because they want to be here. So the companies that are here at Work Human, to me, are the progressive leaders, the progressive thinkers, and the progressive companies. So these are the companies that are thinking about, how are we going to innovate as a company? And there's that expression, innovate or die. Well, it's an expression for a reason. So the companies that are here that invest in the whole self of the employee are the companies that are going to sustain over time. They are the ones who are going to compete. They are the ones who are going to make it. And the companies that are not looking at these topics, that are not investing in themselves and their employees, I don't know if they're going to be here in a few years. The rate of acceleration in today's economy is going to leave people behind. And so to me, it's exciting to be here because we are talking about a topic that still has so much opportunity. 14% of Americans have access to paid leave right now. And as you mentioned earlier, we are the only developed country without paid leave. It's honestly ridiculous. And so the companies that are here are the companies, again, I'll just say it again, they are investing in their people and they're being innovative and they are the companies that are going to thrive. And so this is an exciting place for us to make connections with those companies that are leaders.
Excellent. Yeah. And I hope that next year we see you presenting in Nashville.
I would love to present in Nashville. That would be awesome. I've actually never been to Nashville and I've wanted to go. So that would be super exciting. I think we should apply. I think so. You also asked me who's my favorite speaker. So I have to tell you, getting to see Brené Brown, because of course I follow Brené and I've read her books. Getting to see Simon Sinek, I use his language all the time in the work that I do. Because companies always want to go straight to talking to me about, well, we can't afford this. Well, we don't know how we would do this. We can't cover for our employees when they're on leave. Well, guess what? That's the what and the how. Anybody can figure out their what and how in life if they have their why. Simon Sinek is here and he's talking about the why. He's always talking about the why. So if you have your why, there's no issue that's going to stand in your way. So these are the leaders that I came here to hear. And I have to say, though, Selma Hayek, that woman has inspired me to a much deeper level because the things that I'm talking to you about, I'm still talking to you from my head, right? Selma sat on that stage and she chooses her words so thoughtfully and so deliberately because she's coming from her heart. And she really inspired me. She is a woman that came into this country as a minority and she has owned her power. And she's really an inspiration, not just because of how successful and beautiful she is, yes, but it's because when she talks, she is so authentic, and you truly know that everything she says, even when she's talking about really hard things and saying things that are hard to hear, she says them in such a beautiful, eloquent way. She says them from her heart, and so you can hear them. You can receive her message. So I think that's an opportunity for me.
Yeah, she's brilliant. It has been amazing to chat with you. Great that we connected. I'm looking forward to us staying in touch, hearing more about where the project's going, and I really, really hope that you put your name in the hat to present at next year's. I think this is the audience that wants to hear what you have to deliver.
Thank you for that encouragement. It's going to require me to be brave, so thank you for the encouragement.
So, Angela, where can our listeners find you? And you already mentioned where to find Panorama, but maybe mention that as well.
Yeah. So again, anyone can visit our website at paidleaveproject.org. And if anyone would like to talk with me about tracking data and business results related to paid leave and or to shine a spotlight on your really progressive paid leave program, please don't hesitate to email me, angela.romei, R-O-M-E-I, at panoramaglobal.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angie.
Oh, wait, be sure to join the conversation.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Send your soundbite to hello@human-current.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter @letsworkhappy.
Visit our website, human-current.com, to subscribe to our blog or inquire about being a guest on our show. You can also find us on Facebook and LinkedIn.
We'd like to thank Broke for Free for providing some awesome music for our show. Check out more of his music at brokeforfree.com. This episode was co-edited by Noah Stiles and The Human Current.